Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize. This is something that I'm sure many of us have heard throughout our lives. Whenever we're looking forward to something, we always want to keep our eyes focused on it. Kids in school, you will always look at Friday, keeping your eyes and focused on that weekend. Who am I kidding? Adults, we do that too. We look forward to things coming up, and usually we like it when we have something waiting for us at the end of it. They help us throughout the week. We keep our eyes on a very nice date with our wife or husband at the end of the week, go to a nice dinner. We keep our eyes on that throughout the entire week, hoping and focusing on that. We're looking forward to buying a new toy for ourselves once we save enough money. Maybe it's a nice tool set you're looking at. For kids, maybe it's a nice game that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Or maybe it's just something so simple as just finally being able to sit down on your bed and rest for the night. We always are having a prize in our eyes, a prize in our mindset, and we will always, always strive forward to that goal. And keeping our eyes looking forward to the rewards to come after a hard day's work or a nice week's work of worth. It might surprise you, though, that this actually goes against what we're learning today in the Bible and what Jesus was saying about the first and the last with this parable. Well, we have to back up a little bit here. Chapter 20 in Matthew starts right at this parable. There's no preamble into it in chapter 20. That comes actually in chapter 19. In chapter 19, only scant minutes ago before this parable is told, there was a rich man who comes to Jesus, and he says to him, "Lord, I want to follow you." Jesus says, "Okay, keep all the commandments." Okay, that's a pretty tall order. Kids in confirmation, you know that it's impossible for people to keep all the commandments faithfully. But this guy goes up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, I have kept all the commandments since my birth." Jesus looks at him and says, "One thing you are lacking. Sell everything that you own and follow me." The man leaves because he is sad, for he has great wealth. This then goes to a very familiar story of where Jesus says it is easier for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of the needle than that ever to happen. His disciples then, "Who can be saved?" Jesus says, "For man is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You're probably wondering, when are we going to get to the parable? Why is all this buildup necessary? Well, it's because what Peter says right after this. After Jesus gets done saying that, Peter says to him, "Lord, we," the disciples and him, "have given up everything to follow you. What will we receive?" Jesus says, "You will be the new 12, you will be like the new heads of the tribe of Israel, the 12 of you. You will be granted thrones on high. But remember, the first will be last, and the last will be first." And so he goes into this parable. It's a familiar one to all of us. The master is hiring out workers to go work in his vineyard. He gets some in the beginning of the day, and he says, "I'll pay you one denarius, a day's work of wage." He goes up to some more people the first hour, and he's in the third hour, and he says, "Come work for me for a denarius." So the master keeps going out throughout the town. "You, come to work with me for a denarius. You, come to work with me for a denarius." And so the workers are in the vineyard, either crushing the grapes or taking out the grapes off the vine. A couple weeks ago, I was actually very gifted to actually go and see how wine is made right in the beginning. And I can tell you, if you're squeezing that thing, the pump that gets all the grapes, it can be a lot of hard work. You have to constantly watch it. This is not easy labor that these people are doing. So it comes to the payday, the hour where those people will finally get their denarius. Master says, call out the workers who I hired last. Bring them forward. Here's a denarius. Gives it to them. And this goes on throughout the evening. Can you imagine what it's like for a moment, what those last workers, those first workers who were hired are like? They're looking around and they're working in the field and they're seeing all of these people coming in. Different times of the day. Getting that one denarius each. And they're thinking in the back of their head, I've been working all day. I'm going to get more. I put more hours in. I put more labor in. I mean, it's only fair, you know, an hourly wage, getting paid for how much you work. That's the standard economy here in the USA. Can't wait to get my reward. And their eyes were on the prize, their payday. So it comes out, it's their turn. Finally, they've been waiting for this all day. They have had their eyes set on that money. They go to it, they put their hands out. Here's a denarius. Excuse me, you got something wrong here. You can imagine their just anger, their confusion, their frustration. We have been working with you and sweating in the heat of the day. And these people you've hired on have only been working 1 hour. Why do they get paid the same? The master says, I'm doing you no wrong. Can I not give what I have fully of my own accord? I hired you for a denarius, and you worked for me for a denarius. So the last shall be first. And the first, last. It's hard to blame these workers. It seems unfair. It seems wrong for this master to do this, especially looking in today's economy. We get paid for how much we work. I've worked hourly wage jobs. I'm sure many of us have worked hourly jobs. Wouldn't it make you mad? Wouldn't it make you frustrated if you have worked all day behind a hot grill at McDonald's or a hot day working out in the farm fields and you are given the same amount of money as that lazy, no good person who comes in 5 hours late and decides to just be on their phone, to just take a nap? Still does their work when they have to. But wouldn't that make you mad? Getting paid the same amount. This is what it was like for the disciples. You can imagine all these people are now following Jesus. People are coming in droves to see him. And Peter and the 12 disciples are like, we've been following you for a long time. What are we going to get? They're missing the point. We often miss the point here today. You see, they were keeping their eyes on the prize, but it wasn't the right prize. It wasn't what their eyes should be focused on. Even after this parable is told, Jesus goes into his, as we've been looking at it, his third prediction of his death. First one was given and Peter rebuked him. Second one was given. And they did not understand what it meant to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now the third one comes after this because their eyes are not focused on what is need to be. They're looking on things of this earth and not of things above. It got so bad, actually, after Jesus made this third prediction of his death, right after his story, that the mother of James and John go up to Jesus and she says, hey, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, can my sons be the co-rulers of your kingdom? You know, one sitting on your right hand, one on your left hand. Could you do that? They weren't looking at the right prize. And it's easy. It's very easy, actually, to look at the different things around this world, to lose our focus on Christ. But it isn't just the jewels, the games, the house, the car, or any number of material things that we can look at that keeps our eyes off of Jesus. It can also be everything going around us. How easy it is to lose our focus on Christ, the true prize. When we look and turn on the news or just scroll in our Facebook feed and we can see, oh, look, there's another riot. This one now, a protest in St. Charles. Oh, look, there's another hurricane coming up. Now, look, they're not going to be able to fix our healthcare system. Oh, look, tensions are going awry in the world. Oh, look, all of this other stuff going on in this world that keeps our eyes off of Christ. And how easy it is to do that. And how easy it is to then focus on other things. And once we start going away, as soon as we start turning our eyes away from Christ, even just by a little bit sometimes, it doesn't take long for us to go on a completely different path, to focus on a completely different prize. And the destination of that prize is hell, is death and destruction. I've always taken comfort in where Christ's eyes were. We've been saying it for these past couple of weeks. Jesus told his disciples, I will die and the third day be risen from the dead. I will die and be risen on the third day. I am going to go up to Jerusalem and die. Throughout this whole third part of Matthew in his gospel, up until the cross and the resurrection, Jesus' eyes are focused on one thing, cross. Everything that he has been saying, everything that he's been doing on this earth, everything that he's been preaching and teaching, he has had his eyes set on the cross. All the parables, all of the teaching that he's done, all the miracles that he has done this, and he has always kept his eyes focused on where he's going. He is going to die. Because our eyes kept going off and looking at different things. Because his people's eyes kept wanting to go and look for the things that were of this earth and not of the Father in heaven. Because people did not keep their eyes on God. He was always, for us, going to keep his eyes on the prize. His eyes on Christ. His eyes upon the cross. He goes to that cross. A couple of chapters after this, chapter 22, he goes into Jerusalem and Passion Week begins. His eyes, while everyone was focused on Christ, while everyone was cheering his name for all the wrong reasons, thinking he was going to be this great earthly leader, his eyes were on the prize, the cross. His eyes were on our salvation. His eyes were firmly set on us and what he was going to do for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's amazing. In today's world, when everything seems going out of control, we have a God who looks at us and sees us as the prize and focuses on us. He doesn't see the bad. He doesn't see the wandering. Because we are washed in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we are washed in the holy waters of baptism, God looks at us and says, you are the prize. You I came for. You I taught. And you have I died for. He keeps us as his prize and says to us, look not to the things of this world, but look to Christ, for he has done wonderful things. He has forgiven you all of your sins. He has risen from the dead so that you do not have to fear death. You have to keep your eyes on the prize for what he has done for you, for Christ has done all things for us. It is hard to do that. I will admit that. There are many times where even I have failed. I have looked to the worries of this world, the pressures of school, the pressures of being a pastor, and I've lost my eyes on Christ. But we remember what he's done for us. And he does give us some rules. This parable ends, the last will be first and the first will be last. Jesus calls his disciples and tells us to remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hungry, for they shall be fed. Go back to the Beatitudes and read them, and you'll see this is what Christ has meant. We have a prize that is worth everything in this world, that is beyond compare. It is Christ alone. We are going to go soon in the month of October, as Pastor Vern said, looking at the solas of Martin Luther and the Reformation. Grace alone, Christ alone, and all the other solas that come in there. There was a time when the church was not keeping their eyes on the prize, but looking at everything else around in the world. I invite you in this week, in all your life, to keep your eyes firmly set upon Christ, who is our treasure. Keep your eyes firmly set upon the cross from which he has given the best gift and the best prize of all, forgiveness of sins. Keep your eyes on the tomb, the empty tomb, where Christ has arisen from the dead and gives eternal life to all who believe in him. Keep your eyes on the prize of Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.